Hallelujah. Well, you know, I've been really struggling with how to approach this subject that I want to share with you today. Because I have a desire in my heart to always give you the best that I can from where I'm at. And one thing that I've always have driven myself to do or to know is the voice of God. I don't know how to say it any other way other than knowing the voice of God is probably one of the greatest desires of my heart. And that is to know when He speaks to me. And so I pursued that my whole walk. I pursue it almost daily with the Lord. And where it started was the Word of God. Wanting to know Scripture. Wanting to know what it's saying. More than ever, I did not want the Word of God to ever speak to me what I believed it should be saying. I've always approached the Word of God with this thought: God, You show me what You mean with what You've said. You see, and you can always be safe that way, but a lot of people don't realize that within themselves there can be a real battle that goes on within you to know the voice of God. Now, I don't think there's one of us in this building here today, other than the fact that you're not saved, I don't think a one of us in this building would not have a desire to know God's voice. Amen. Is there anybody here that doesn't have that desire? If you don't have that desire, don't raise your hand. Because we'll stop the service right here and right now and get you up here and lay hands on you. But the most wonderful thing that you can desire in your heart is to know the voice of God. Now, I've traveled down the road a time some. I'm only 34 years old. Amen. Amen. But I'm speaking from my spirit and not my body. But having that desire to know His voice, I had not realized that when I was looking at some scripture verses, what I'm going to have you turn there. Turn to John chapter 10. And the minute I read these, the first time I read these verses, years ago, soon I lived over on Oxford Street. And that's a place where I rededicated my whole heart to God. And in John chapter 10, Jesus, being the true shepherd, spoke to me out of these scriptures. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Boy, when you understand salvation and you hear people saying there are other ways into heaven, not only are they labeled a thief, but he didn't stop there. He also says you rob other people of the same thing you tried to do. And that's to enter into heaven without going through the true shepherd, which is Jesus. He goes on to say, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know, the first time I read that, people, you don't know how frustrated I was. Because I had no clue as to how to hear His voice. One of the reasons is He's there and I'm here. How many of you read that verse before? How many of you ever read that verse before? How many of you felt the same way I did, frustrated? Because you probably said the same thing I said. Now, you know, if I'm your sheep, and I am, how can I hear your voice? Anybody else that's been there? The rest of you are not saying anything. Mainly because you don't want to look stupid. But how many of you read that verse? Let's see your hand. How many of you read that verse? Every one of you should have read that verse. How many of you did not have that thought? How do I hear your voice? You know? Guess what? What I've found out. I'm still trying to learn. But in my process of learning His voice, I found out something very interesting. First of all, how many of you know just before Jesus' death, one thing that He promoted more than anything else, and that was the Holy Spirit. His whole ministry just before His death and burial, His whole ministry is focused around the person of the Holy Spirit. And He said something about the Holy Spirit. He said, what He will do is He will take of mine and show it unto you. Well, a part of that showing unto you is your ability to hear His voice. That's part of Him showing unto you who Jesus is to be able to hear His voice. Now, the more clearer His voice is becoming in my life, the more freer I am of stewarding my life in a way that I can meet the needs of people that are a part of my life. I can fellowship with some in one area that I can't in others. But that doesn't mean that the others that I can't share the same that I could with somebody else doesn't make one group any lesser than the other group. It's just that you're able to take your person and be able to fit into everyone's life the way that you should fit into their life, because He can instruct you how to do that. And some people, they only hear one voice, and that's God's voice. And as a result of that, if you don't match that voice, you'll find that they don't know how to fellowship with just everybody. They either pick up a religious spirit, or they fight and battle with everybody to match up with their God, that they see Him the way they do. And I found that everybody views God so many different ways and channels, that if I can connect perfectly with Him and understand His voice, then I can communicate to all levels of society the way that I should connect with them. And don't you think Jesus was that way? You see, Jesus baffled the Jews because Jesus wasn't like the transformation of the Jew from God. Their God. Jesus was amazed at how much they did not know of their Father because they could not interpret Him. If you can interpret Jesus, then you have the Father. Because Jesus and the Father are one. Can I hear an amen? I bet that's a good church to be in. And so, Jesus knew right away that if the Jew did not have Him, then they didn't have the Father. John the Beloved makes that clear in 1 John. He says, if you don't have the Father, or the Son, then you don't have the Father. Why? Because Jesus interpreted the person of the Father. That's why he said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Because he's amplified in the Son. Oh, glory to God. And you know what Jesus did? He left us a legacy so that we can know Jesus, therefore know the Father. Amen. And you know, back then, a lot of idolatry was taking place. But I thought it was very interesting, at the end of 1 John, very end of the book, he makes this one little liner, one statement. My beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. And he wasn't talking about the person who carves an image of a god, then put it before him and worship that god. He was referring to interpreting, being able to interpret the Son so that you would have the Father. And he said many started out that way, but they departed from the doctrine of the apostles. And as a result of that, they began to carve their own image of God. And that's still going on today. That's what he was referring to. Make sure that you are carving the right image of God within you. Paul said, one of my blessed struggles is praying till Christ be formed in you. See, and that's always been my heart's desire. And once I've been able to form the right opinion of my Savior, then I have the right opinion of my Father, and it makes me so much at peace when I fellowship with everyone. Good, bad, ugly, in between, however you want to, you know, dissect somebody in your life, monsters, whatever. At least you can be at peace with any of them because you've got your Heavenly Father able to speak into your heart what you need be to be at the time. He needs you to be that. And that's what I call a good witness for Christ. Amen. But before we go any further, Lonnie Summers did a bold interpretation of what I shared with my department heads, but seeing how he was so bold with the body to bring it out, then I decided it was okay for me to do it. And because I understand the Greek language even more than I ever had, especially in the last 3 or 4 years, I caught something that I'd never seen before, and that's a fact that the Holy Spirit is never connected with a particular word called authority. And what I'm referring to is there's no place in Scripture where he has his own authority to speak. He does not speak on his own authority. He speaks on the authority of the Father or the believer. He's called the perfect mediator. And he only speaks what he hears. He doesn't speak on his own initiative. Right away, that will give you a key thought to how God will speak to you. How many times you run into somebody and said, the Holy Spirit told me what to do? How many? You have to interpret what you mean by that. Is he telling you in spite of what you've decided to do? Or is he giving you warning that that would not be the proper thing to do? You got to be careful how you interpret what he says to you and how he says it. Because if you will, look in John chapter 16 here. John chapter 16. And let's go to verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, notice, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So that means all righteousness will come through the witness of the Son. Then he goes and says, of judgment. And this is a word, krisis. And this is where we talked about the judgments of God before. A lot of people said they got so much out of that. And until I understood the judgments of God, I didn't know the judgments of God until about 3 years ago. And that changed my whole outlook on how to perceive somebody. The word here for judgment is the Greek word krisis, and literally means of discernment. Of discernment. Because the ruler of this world is sentenced. That is the word krino, not krisis. One is the word for discernment, and the other is a word for judgment. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now, or you cannot carry them right now, because there's no way for you to understand if I was to speak. Did you notice that God will only speak to you in what you're capable of hearing? No. It's up to you to hear. He'll only speak in light of what you're capable of understanding. See. And so he goes on to here, and he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The word here, guide, literally is referring to a natural guide, who can take you into a territory that you know nothing about. So he's saying here, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to take you someplace you've never been before, but he's been there. He knows what it's all about. He knows where you need to go. He can take you right there, and guess what? It can be as smooth as you want it to be, or as bumpy as you want it. But he is a good guide, a very good guide. But notice he says he does not speak on his own authority. Actually, it's the word initiative. In other words, what he hears, that he will convey. Now, let me ask you something. If John was to stand up here by me, John, and I'm talking to you, how many of you know that you and I can carry on a dialogue if I'm addressing something to you and then you're addressing it back to me? Mm-hmm. Now, what if I never turned to him and asked him anything? Then he would stand there just like that, stupid.
Thank you.
If I don't turn to him or you don't speak to him, he doesn't speak. But if I turn to him and I'm asking him a question, then he would speak and he would declare that question. But in the meantime, if he's not speaking, you know what he's called? A listener. Mm-hmm. Now, remember that lady that was taught how to communicate with difficult people? And we discovered in the class that everyone's difficult. She was excellent. But see, she said, a good communicator is a good listener. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That scripture came to me when I was in that classroom. As a matter of fact, I think I quoted you. That reminds me of the Holy Spirit. He don't speak on his own initiative, but he's a listener. What he hears, that he will speak.
Yes.
See, so the Holy Ghost is a good listener. You can sit down now, John, though you didn't say nothing. So, we're going to talk here a little bit about the different types of voices, and you might want to write them down because, like I said, I'm still learning. I just learned something about the voices that go off on the inside of me. I finally learned something that I thought was the voice of God. You know what? You will spend your entire life walking with the Lord, and that's one area you will fine-tune all the time. Is being able to hear his voice.
That's right.
And you know what? I'm so convinced that God is so great that you can't exhaust His voice. Now you can get to a place where you can be pretty accurate, but still, as accurate as you are, you can still miss it. John Cook was giving me his testimony of a wonderful man in the Lord years ago. And boy, when it came to the gifts of the Spirit, this guy knew the gifts of the Spirit. Sharp. But John said, as long as he stayed in his calling, where he was good, he was okay. But when he was pulled out of his calling, got into other areas, he was a nutcase. See, because God's anointing will work through you where you allow God to work in you. Because God has to be the one that gives an increase on the inside of you. And I found there are a lot of things in my life that God never gave an increase to, I did. And I'm beginning to realize God has to be the one that's accountable to the increase on the inside of you. Because Paul said, one plants, one waters, but it's God that's got to give that increase. And every one of us want to increase in God by knowing His voice. Amen. So I'm going to do the best that I can to help you know what I know about the voice of God. But like I said, I don't know it all yet. I'm still working on that voice. But the things I'll share with you will help you a little bit to fine-tune. Maybe some things that will help you. I want to say this before I go on in my message. Oral Roberts, what helped me to hear God's voice a lot clearer is the mentors that God has placed me under. Some of us, we don't realize how important it is to be under the right people. You got to be under the right people. And that helps to know that voice. Oral Roberts has a book out, and I read it, and John read it. It's kind of basic, but he says a lot of good things in there. Because Oral Roberts had an anointing in his life while he was alive. Didn't mean he was perfect, but I tell you what, you have to respect a man who's lived longer than you in Christ. And a lot of us don't respect the anointings of God in the body of Christ. He has a book out called The Ultimate Voice. And I encourage you to get the book if you can. I read it. It helped me immensely. But it doesn't have all the answers that you need. But I'll tell you what you can glean out of it is pretty good. So if you can, order this book. It's by Oral Roberts, called The Ultimate Voice. And this is a study guide that comes with the book here. It says study guide here, but there's a book out, The Still Small Voice, and this is by Oral Roberts. If you can, try and get that book, either through Dietman's or somebody's, if you desire to hear more of God. I know some believers that don't want to hear more of God. Why? They can't stand the suffering called no. So if you have pencil and paper, you might want to write these down because they are important. I don't know, should I commit John to type them out? And yes. And he said, yes. Well, it'll help them to stay more focused. If we could type these out and have them for you for next Sunday, would that be all right with you guys so you can stay concentrated unless you want to write them down anyway because you can't wait till next Sunday for the notes? If you don't have the fruit of patience working in you. Okay, here's the voices that I want to share with you. And I want to focus on just one of the voices called the voice of reasonings. Because this is probably the most difficult voice for you to deal with. Is the voice of reasonings. So, number one, the voice of reasoning. The voice of reasonings. I call this the voice of experience. The voice of experience. Then we have what we call the voice of Satan. Oh, that's what I want to know about. Well, just have patience here. Called the voice of Satan. And this is what I call thoughts injected. Thoughts injected. And then you have what you call the voice of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And this is called the Holy Spirit or the human spirit. So we call this the voice of the Spirit. And this is what I call the voice of the subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. The voice of the subconscious mind. All three of these voices are from your inward being. All of them are from your inward being. Then we have what we call the voice of physical hearing. The voice of physical hearing. I call this the conscious mind, the mind that we deal with and what we understand through the voice of reasoning. So we have what we call the voice of the physical hearing, the conscious mind. And then we have what we call the voice of the body. Or we could say this, the voice of the body is where we get the voice of manifestation. The voice of manifestation. And these two voices are what I call outward. They don't come from within, they're outward. In other words, the voice of physical hearing is where you hear somebody speak to you. He says something. And that is the voice where we hear faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we have to send somebody to speak something. And so we call this the voice of physical hearing. This is the conscious mind. Then with the voice of the body is what I refer to as the voice of manifestation. A lot of times we'll step out in faith to believe God for something. And a lot of times we don't believe we've received it until the manifestation. See. And that does not mean that you've received it. You believe that you receive and then you shall have. The manifestation is a result of already having received. Now, if that isn't difficult for faith, I don't know what is. And so when you understand that you have all these voices at work within you, how do you tell which one belongs to God? Well, it's quite simple. Pursue it. That's how simple is pursue it. Well, that doesn't tell me how it works. I know. You've got to experience it for yourself. So the most important voice that you will endeavor to work on the most is the voice of reasoning. Mm-hmm. The voice of reasoning. Now, I thank God that He has designed us when we've got born again. He's designed us in a unique way. First of all, He's separated our inner man from our outer man. That was the first and most dynamic profitableness that we ever inherited when we got born again. And that is our inner man was cut away from our outer man. Our inner man is what was resurrected to glorification, not our outer man. Dang it. And so, that is a very important thing to understand, is that when you are dealing with the voice of reasoning, you have two sets of hearing on this level. It is called the voice of the body and the voice of the spirit. And that's when that third one there, the voice of the spirit, what comes from the deep within. Now, the reason a lot of believers, including myself, have not developed like we should have developed is because when you're dealing in the voice of reasonings, this is not only something that comes from within us. This area of the voice of reasonings is where Satan can inject a thought on that level. And see, people don't realize that. See, when you don't rightly, if you can't rightly discern or divide the Word of God, it's simply because God has made available a product called, now this is a deep revelation here, it's a product called the Word of God. Did you know the Word of God was given to the voice of your reasoning? It wasn't given to the voice of Satan. It wasn't given to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't given to the voice of your body. Or it was not given to the voice of your physical hearing. The voice of your physical hearing benefited from the Word of God. So, the Word of God, you might say, was given to the voice of reasoning. Well, how could you say that? Because that is where wisdom begins. At the voice of reasoning. That's where wisdom begins. It's called the principle thing. Now listen, here's the reason you got a guy with a religious spirit and a guy that doesn't have. A guy with a religious spirit, he has the voice of reasoning working within him. But it's more in his carnal mind than his spirit. Because if it was working out of his spirit, it would mean that he would be discerning which voice is communicating with him on that level versus the carnal mind. Because the carnal mind will tell you anything. This is where Satan can put a thought in there. You can get into the Word of God and you read a verse in Scripture and all of a sudden, you can have a light come into you, say, hey, does this mean this? And then Satan will go and inject a thought in there contrary to it. And you go, oh, that's right. That won't work. See, what I'm trying to get to your attention to is the fact that the voice of reasoning is the most difficult level of any voice because that's where you begin. So you know what God has done for you? And people have ignored this more than anything else when it comes to being able to hear the voice of God. Here it is. I have learned over many years of walking with the Lord that you must read the Word of God. Yes, yes, yes. Does that give you a revelation? You must read the Word of God. That is why the mind of reasoning has to have that input. Because you've grown up from a seed of a little baby, and you've grown up, and all as you've heard in your growing up is the voice of experience. Now you have to have the Word of God speak back to you on a daily basis to counteract what you have grown up with. And it amazes me how many people have come to me, Pastor, I just can't hear His voice. How many of you have run across somebody? I try. It seems like everything I do is wrong. Boy, how frustrating that is. We can mock it. But I'll tell you what, every one of us has experienced that frustration. Have you? It just seems like every time you thought you heard from God and did what you knew God said to do, and it turned to poop. Despicable Me. Favorite movie. Because that's what life can be like. You could want the moon, and you could have it at the same time, but the problem is you're on the moon all by yourself. So that is so frustrating. That's why I always say, here's where you start. Read your Bible.
Amen.
How often do you get into the Word? Pastor, I know what I need to do, but tell me. Now, wait a minute. How often do you get into the Word? Well, you know, I'm pretty busy nowadays. Well, then what do you want me to do? Do you want me to give you a word to tell you what to do? Don't ever ask me that. Because if I know you and I know where you're missing it, I'll give you that word. Isn't it funny how we always want a voice from God that says, here's how I will bail you out. That witnesses with me. But in the meantime, what am I doing? Am I hearing the Word of God? Well, in order to hear the Word of God, you have to read it.
Yes.
That's why God has never, ever declared His Word to be written. Well, then what do you think I got in my lap? You got in your lap what has been written by men who were moved by the Holy Ghost to tell us something. And that's why the written word, unless it's spelled graphite, it's called logos. And you can get a Strong's Concordance and look up the word logos. And it literally means the spoken word of God. Oh, I thought that was Rhema. It is. Rhema is a spoken word of God.
Yep.
Well, which one is right? Both of them. Because logos means God spoke it, and Rhema means you said it. Can't get simpler than that. And here's the thing that you have to understand about that. Before you speak it, you should know what He says. So, bottom line, you want to hear His voice more? Read the Word of God as much as you can, from cover to cover, whether it's selected reading or whether it's general reading, whatever it is, read the Word of God. You know, whenever I got into a fight or an argument with somebody, I loved it because something in me would leap. Because the very area of argument we're going to, I know the Word of God on it. And I know that all I have to do is say, well, I'm hearing what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. But let me show you something, and I'll take him to Scripture, and I'll quote the Scripture. You know what everyone, every argument I've ever won, you know what they've told me? I didn't know that was in the Bible. I didn't know that Scripture was there. Yeah. Yeah. So if the voice of reasoning is where God has made Himself available to us, wouldn't you call that great? I mean, in other words, He's made Himself available on a level that you and I can understand Him. Now, does that mean that at the minute we've reached that we have arrived at maturity? Uh-uh. Because you see, the first thing that a parent will do will communicate with the child on the level he's at, where he's at, till he understands that. Then the parent should take their children deeper in the experience of life. Is that right or is that wrong? Well, you know, some believers seem to think that all as God cares about is getting you born again. And once you get him into the kingdom, now just tell them how to hang on until God comes or they go there. They had a poster up, hang in there, baby. I don't know if you guys remember that poster years ago. And it's a cat hanging on to a bamboo pole. And the cat's got big saucer lid eyes and just hanging in there, you know, and that was the concept of belief. Hang in there, baby. Well, every one of us would have been gone by now because we couldn't hang on to a bamboo pole as long as we've lived in Him. And so we have to have within us a desire to hear His voice. And so where you start is you read. The second thing is, be where the Word of God is spoken as much as possible. Hearing it and hearing it. Nowadays, I know certain areas so well in the Bible that if I get into a conversation with a brother or sister and it comes into an argument, I have to evaluate right away whether they understand where I'm coming from or not. And then I have to say, well, let's just shut it down. No use keeping going. Because they have to come to that same level of understanding that you have. Or otherwise, it just turns into a fight. And we're not called to fight. It just don't work. And so the voice of reasoning is the voice, sad to say, of experience. But the voice of reasoning is also where God has made himself available. And you might want to write this down. Made himself available with a term called wisdom. Now, how many of you know that the devil has wisdom? You know what that Greek word is? Wisdom? Sophia. You know what God's Greek word for wisdom is? Sophia. And the first time I looked up the meanings to the word wisdom and came up with the same interpretation, which one's God and which one's not? Which one's of the devil? Well, I found out the reason God left us the Bible, it's spelled B-I-B-L-E, is because he wanted to expose the godly wisdom over the wisdom of the devil. So, what will really help you more than anything else is to read the Bible, especially Proverbs. Oh, poop. You know why Proverbs is so difficult for some people? It tells you what you're not doing and what you should be. Amen? So I went through this period of reading the book of Proverbs. And you know who plugged me into that? I can say his name, Kenneth Copeland. Say what you want to say. I love the dude. He talked about wisdom. And he talked about understanding. And he said, understanding establishes wisdom in you. You can have wisdom and not have understanding, and you're as rock can get. But understanding will stabilize wisdom. And so I come to the conclusion, the first line of defense for you to understand God's voice when he speaks to you is from the avenue of wisdom. He wants you to understand wisdom. He has provided it for you through the B-I-B-L-E. Wisdom, right here. Well, not here. These are my notes. Well, yeah, they're two. But you've already received the wisdom of experience by growing up in this world. That is a life you've lived without pressing into it. You were thrown into it. But the kingdom of God, for that wisdom to work, you have to push yourself. You have to squeeze yourself into that realm because you've never lived it before. So whatever day you recommitted your life or got born again, whatever that was, from that time on is all you know about the kingdom of God. And if you haven't pressed or forced yourself into knowing all there is to know about God, we don't know what age group you are spiritually. There's a lot of Christians that are teenagers. They know everything. And I would not call that the voice of maturity. Anyway, shut up, I'll get all the teens hot at me. Our teens here, they know everything. They're the best. Well, Pastor, why is all this so important? This gets confusing. I know. Knowing the voice of God is confusing. I'm not going to take a light of it. It is one of the most difficult things that you'll ever understand in your life. Unless you're complacent and indifferent, then the voice doesn't mean anything to you. You just interpret God the way you want to believe it, period. But if you have a desire to grow and know more of God, then you'll start paying attention to what voice is speaking on the inside of you. Now, the voice of the body, this is where the voice of desire comes from. That gets real confusing. Because I thought I heard from God, and all it was is just the voice of desire. And why should I be concerned about all these voices? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you get caught up in thinking that you know the voice of God, and you find that you have made a mistake on that voice, it can hinder your faith. It could even cause you to vacate your position of spirituality, and you become complacent and indifferent in that, because then you get afraid of pressing into God, because you might make another mistake. You know what God is sharp at? He's sharp at mistake people. He knows how to pull you out of anything that you make a mistake. So don't be afraid of your mistakes. That's just pride. If you made a mistake, say, I blew it. I blew it. And if somebody says, I told you so. You told me so. Say it. You told me so. So what's the purpose of that? Then you'll sit back and say, now, I blew that one, and I want to know why I blew that one. Now you're back on track again where God can start showing you something of where you missed it. Some people seem to think they got it so together that if you go on and carry a conversation on with them, I don't call it a conversation, I would call it a one-way listening event. Some people can open their mouth and they don't know how to close it, and you can't get in a word edgewise. How many of you run around people like that? You just might as well shut up and listen to what they got to say, because they can ramble on till they start saying something right. Or they'll say something you've learned. So, the voice of reasoning. This is the voice of the wisdom of God, and this is the voice where God's Word is found. It's not found in some deep, dark, secret place to where you can never obtain to hearing Him. But that's a place you can go once you hear Him at a certain level. Then you can go deeper. I found there are things that I'm discovering now through the Word of God that I know there's no use even preaching it, because it's way beyond where we're at. And you know, Kenneth Hagin said that. He said, I have many things I'd like to share with you, but the body is not there. That used to tick me off. Well, don't tell me that, because I got to know what that is. How many of you ever heard him say that? He said it when he was here on those two or three. That God has showed him things that he can't voice right now. I asked him that one time when we were out at the fort, you know, I said, what is those secret things? And he'd grin at me and he'd laugh. And then he'd tell me something, I'd go, huh? I never heard of that. And then he'd laugh and say, is that puzzling to you? Yeah. He says, then forget it. He was sharp. He was sharp spiritually. Read his testimonies about how he'd stay up late at night and get up early in the morning and stay all night and hear from God. And there are some people that don't lose out on the lick of sleep over God, and yet they know everything he says and moves and does. All you have to do is look at the fruit, and that'll tell you something. It'll scare you. Okay, we're going to stop there. If you have any questions on end time things tonight, write them down and get them to John Cook. I want to say one other thing. That Ed McMaines used to be our men's director. How many of you remember Ed McMaines? Well, his wife passed on. And they're going to have a memorial service today at 4. I think it's 4 in Graham, Washington. And I don't know what chapel that's going to be in. Does anybody know?
It's a Baptist
church? Do you know, Ida? Graham Emanuel Baptist Church. That's where it's going to be. Off of Meridian and 224th. Emanuel Baptist. Graham Baptist Church. 4 o'clock. So I'm sure those of you who knew Ed appreciated if you would show up and pay respects for his wonderful wife, Kay. She was a part of our body. I loved her so much. But boy, she's where I want. She's there. I meant rejoicing and leaving us here to miss her. Okay. With that said, stand up, everybody. We're going to go ahead and dismiss. Did you get something here this morning a little bit? You know? I'm sorry we didn't go into much in-depth with each one, but just the voice of reasoning, if you understand that, get that level, then the Word of God is what you can corral that thing with, you know. Praise God. Praise God. Would you like me to go one more session on this? I will. I'll go one more session to explain it out a little further. The voice of your conscience, God conscience, how important it is you do not disobey that voice. Because when you start disobeying that voice, you are going to be out of season to produce anything for the kingdom of God. And you'll know it. You'll shut it down real big in your life. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, we're ready to close the service. Father, I thank you for the church. I thank you for your people. I thank you how wonderful they are. And Father, anything and everything that is within me, you've placed it there, Father. I want my people to have it. I want them to have the best. I want them to know the best that you have to offer for them. So I pray that anything that I share to you today, Father, will be of value to them, give them an understanding, bring a conviction in their heart if they're not where they should be, whatever it takes, Father, that with the information that I've shared. Father, may they take it home, think upon it, and then be a doer of it, Father, more than anything else. May they do it, Father, more than anything else. May they do it with what they hear. As we now dismiss the congregation, may they be victorious at hearing your voice this week. Father, there must be a reason for it. So everyone here present needs that voice, that ability to hear it. May they be blessed by it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.